Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. If you want to participate in our program that way, joined by Jeff Fiegels, I am John Schmelk. Giants getting ready to take on the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday Night Football. The Giants inducting four new members into the Ring of Honor. We're going to have breast cancer awareness stuff going on Sunday night as well. So a big day at MetLife Stadium. Come down if you have tickets. Stay in your seats at halftime for that Ring of Honor ceremony. Christine Osu-Manure are two of the big names that are going in. A longtime Giants trainer. And then Jack Lummis, somebody that was killed during World War II and played for the Giants for a year. So it should be a special night.
Great
but
night.
Jeff,
great
you know,
night.
You know what will really make the night special and great?
When?
The Giants beat the 49ers. So let's talk about the matchup. The Niners come into this game struggling. They won their first game of the year, a very nice win against the Minnesota Vikings, which I know surprised me. I was very high in the Vikings this year. But since then, now the schedule's been tough. I get that. But it's been tough sledding for the 49ers.
Well, I mean, you look at the way a lot of these teams are quarterback. It all depends about the quarterback. And you look at the way Kaepernick has been playing. It's very inconsistent. You know, last week they lost the game, but they held the Packers to 17 points. Now, I know that the Packers aren't, you know, they're not great on the road, but they are the Packers, John. And so, you know, you have to be a little bit careful with this 49er team coming out here and, you know, after winning two games and getting all excited and your confidence up, put that in the books and you got to go and move forward as a team and really focus in on the opportunity to win a game at home on Sunday night. And how about all these late games the Giants are playing early? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Hey, that's good for me.
Got a Monday night game next week. They've already had an 8:30 game.
Get them out of the way now. Because, you know.
Well, yeah, because it's a little bit
everyone still has a lot of energy early in the year. It's a little bit warmer. When you get to December and you're in game 13 and it's 20 degrees outside, the last thing you want to do is be walking out of that building at around 1:45 in the morning and have to be back in the office at 7:30, okay?
So it's all about us, not them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's better for the players, too, because I think, in all kidding aside, you know, when you're coming out of camp and you get into the season, you're not on a set schedule yet. You know, in the preseason, you're playing on Saturday.
Yeah.
1 week, you're playing on Thursday. 1 week, you're playing on Friday. So I don't think you're settled in yet. So I think it's better to get all these weird game times and stuff unsettled at the beginning of the year. Then, once the Giants get past this game at Philadelphia next Monday night, the only other night game they have, barring any other games that get flexed, is the game against Miami in December.
Right.
So all you really have then, there might be one more Sunday night game.
And that's not a bad game in December in Florida.
No, absolutely not. So you're on then a fixed schedule, and you're good to go the rest of the way. That is the final night game left. I was right about that. And, you know, you get into your routine, you stick to it, and at that point of the season, when you're getting tired, when you're hurting, when you're trying to grind through, that's when you want your routine. And I think the Giants will be able to settle into one nicely once they get through this game next Monday night.
And the 1 o'clock games, if you can get a couple of those, two or three in a row, and then you maybe throw a 4 o'clock game in there, it's not the biggest. But, you know, good point. I mean, and certainly you want them early because of the weather. You know, I mean, if it's nice, it's not going to be freezing. It's not going to be totally hot. But this is a good football weather coming in here for Sunday night. A lot of stuff going on in this game. Congratulations to all the Ring of Honor. And, you know, you got Mr. J, which a lot of people don't know about Mr. J. You're going to learn about him. You know, he's a trainer for the Giants. He was a trainer.
Tell us about him.
60 years in this organization.
Because he was here when you were here, right?
Absolutely. His last year was 2007. I came to the Giants in 2003. And here was this gentleman of a man. I'm telling you, just the nicest guy you'll ever meet. And, you know, I got to know him for those years that he was here with the Giants. And he was, you know, obviously Ronnie Barnes and Byron Hansen and that staff are the trainers. But, you know, Mr. J, as we call him, Mr. Johnson, we still come to work, you know. And it was in his, you know, late 80s at that point in time. And still coming to work.
Let me tell you.
Unbelievable.
You have to be one hell of a nice guy to deal with players like you for 50 years.
Exactly. So this guy can handle anybody, trust me, John. But just the nicest guy, and you know he's going to be there on Sunday night. And you
I think 89 years old now, right?
Yeah, I think he's 90 something. He's in his 90s. He's in his 90s.
I have to double. You know what? I take that back. It wasn't 89. He's actually 98. I just flip flopped the numbers. Now that I remember, I believe he's 98 years old.
Yeah, I mean, so you think about it, and just an amazing man. And of course, the two other guys. OC and Chris Snead, teammates of mine, can't say enough about both of those guys. If you look at both of them, there's one trait amongst them, two of them actually. One, they're tough. They were tough players. I mean, really tough guys. especially Snee. And the other thing is competitors, and they were very good at their position. I mean, you know, will they be Hall of Fame players? I don't know. But the fact is,
I think Snee has a shot.
They're Ring of Honor players, and in this organization, that's the, you're held to a very high standard when you're that, I'm telling you. And so congratulations to those guys, and I was glad to be able to be teammates with them and win the World Championship in 2007 as my teammates. It's awesome.
And so, now you look at the 49ers, Jeff. You talk about winning up front. OC was a great pass rusher. Snee, a great offensive lineman. And that's where the 49ers and this group used to have their strength. They used to be great up front. They don't have quite the personnel they used to. They've lost guys to retirement. They've lost guys to injury. They've lost guys to suspension. They let Alden Smith go. Justin Smith, you know, decided to retire. Patrick Willis retired. Their right tackle retired. Borland retired. I mean, the guy's dropping like flies out there.
Retiring everywhere. They must have a good retirement plan over there in
frankly,
San Francisco.
A lot of these guys were young, and they could have kept playing if they wanted to. So, you know, you have a group of guys here, Jeff, that are struggling later in the year, and you take a look at some of their numbers. They have a minus 79 point differential this year. That's the worst in the league. They've outscored by 80 points. As I mentioned, they beat the Vikings 20-3 in week one. They lost to the Steelers 43-18 in week two. Lost to the Cardinals 47-7. Both those games on the road now in week number three.
Wow.
And then they held the Packers to 17 points in San Francisco at Levi Stadium. They lost that game 17-3. So they've had a couple of lopsided games, two games that were closer. Colin Kaepernick with just 172 passing yards in the last two games combined, which is crazy. And they've allowed 14 sacks tied for third most in the NFL. So the offensive line used to be a real strength here. They lost Mike Iapati in the offseason, Jeff.
Yeah.
That's hurt them. So
and their defense.
And their defense is the same.
I mean, just look at these, you know, 43, 47 points. I mean, that's the and, you know, when those guys retire like that, John, you know, it puts you back a little bit in the organization as far as, you know, your depth and stuff. Because
well, here's the thing. They drafted Chris Borland to replace Patrick Willis.
There you go.
Not
and
to
they
retire
both leave.
In the same year.
And they both leave.
Right.
So, you know, and when you get into this game planning for the Giants and the 49ers, you know, maybe this is the week now that the Giants can get some sacks and get a pass rush, you know, and continue to play like they have, and then, you know, get Kaepernick and that offense to continue to play like they have.
And Kaepernick has really regressed this year. You know, he's making that one read. He's trying to run the ball a lot. I think he's run into a lot of sacks, too.
Well, they have a new offensive coordinator in Jeke Priss, who he's been around a long time. He was actually one of the coaches on the staff that I was back in Arizona in
1994.
He
was on Roman's staff last year,
yeah,
so it shouldn't be that much of a change.
But, I mean, you know, it's a change because he's calling plays, you know, and
yeah,
he's a first year calling plays, and that's hard. I mean, it's hard to go from one to the other. But, you know, listen, I think that this team that's coming in here, they got a long ways to travel. The 8:30 game is going to help them because you know how they play. Those West Coast teams play on a 1 o'clock Eastern schedule,
right.
So that'll kind of help them. But bottom line in my mind for the Giants, particularly John, is that this team has got to be able to stay focused and understand what's at stake here, because they're playing in a division that they can get into the playoffs by winning this division. Probably going to be the only way they can do it. And so they have to, every game is going to have to be, you know, steady Eddie here and really improve on some of the things they have done. Defensively, we saw what they could do. They still have a lot of stuff that they need to address. The pass rush, their blitzes, getting to the quarterback, things like that. But you know what? They're going to play another team, John, this week that has a running quarterback. They did a nice job with Taylor last week, and now they're going to continue to do it with Kaepernick this week. You know, offensively for the Giants, they got a couple, you know, they got some problems. The tight ends position, we never, you know, we finally understand what happened with Fells, and now that, you know, these guys are got to get back healthy. And they bring in a new receiver from Green Bay, who knows the system and was here, and you know, but I think offensively they've got to run the football against this team, like they always want to, and then come out with a win.
All right. Well, the big number that really defines the difference between these two teams, in my opinion, Jeff, is simple. One is plus six. One is minus five.
I was going to say turnovers, but what's the other one?
And well, that's
it. That's
it,
huh?
It's plus six for the Giants and minus five for the 49ers. The Giants, the second best team in terms of turnover differential in football. The Niners, the third worst. And really, when you break it down, you're plus six through four games, you're going to win a lot. If you're minus five through four games, guess what? You're going to lose a lot. And that's kind of been the definition of these two teams so far this year.
And you look at Kaepernick, you know, how many interceptions has he thrown this season? So, I mean, you know, there's in itself, you know, the Giants offense has done well protecting the football. You know, the one interception last week by Eli, but you know, you take that one out of there, no interceptions in 4 weeks. Come on. I mean, that's pretty good.
And by the way, all five Kaepernick interceptions have come in the last 2 weeks. He actually threw two touchdowns and no picks. The first 2 weeks, his numbers are actually pretty good. His first 2 weeks, 69% completion percentage.
Okay, that's real good.
500 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, 98 passing rating. The last 2 weeks now, 0-2, 50% completion percentage, 227 yards, no touchdowns, five picks.
Interesting.
So the last 2 weeks have been a bit of a disaster.
Well, I mean, he got off to a good start, and then all depends on these teams, these defenses, how they're playing him, and you know, so the Giants go and look at those last two games and see what the defense was doing to try to force him into mistakes. You know, Carlos Hyde,
and you hit it right there,
just a huge guy you're going to have to stop. He's pretty explosive and he's impressive.
To me, he
wasn't impressive the day that I picked him for the DraftKings running back of the week. He went out and got hurt. Jeez.
Well, Jeff,
maybe I should pick them this week.
And I think the way the 49ers want to run their offense is the same way the Bills do. They want to pound the ball on first and second down, get Kaepernick into third and reasonable so he doesn't have to make three reads and get the ball down the field. And in the first week of the season, Carlos Hyde had 168 rushing yards. Since then, he's had 114 in three games. And look, a lot of that I think is probably a product of the score of those games in week two and week three.
Behind.
You can't run the football. You're kind of trying to come back and all that stuff.
And their line.
And quite frankly, the Niners' defense hasn't gotten off the field. They've been killed in time and possession. So when you don't get a lot of snaps on offense, it's hard to get going.
And especially when you're behind, like you said. Yeah. I mean, they're not running the football. Those games where they're putting up 40 on them, you got no chance. So the running game goes to the side. But you're right. I think that the game plan here is a lot for the 49ers is a lot like the Bills. However, they don't have the defense like the Bills did.
Yep.
But offensively, I think their intent is to run the football and get into third and manageables. And Kaepernick can either make the plays with his arm or he can make the plays with his foot or his feet on third and two, third and three. So got to be careful.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Not much cash if you've been playing Jeff Beagle's picks the first 4 weeks this year. We'll find out what they are later on in the show. Jeff, before we get to the calls at 201-939-4513, they're waiting patiently. I'm going to put on the hat of a couple of Giants haters I've been dealing with on Twitter for the past few days.
Oh, I love it.
And I'm going to make the argument to you.
Where's the hat? Where is the hater hat?
I got to put the 49er helmet on to do that. It won't fit, by the way. I tried earlier. I thought that'd be funny.
Well, let it rip, man.
Anyway,
what do you got?
So here's the argument. Giants, they're +5 this year. They're coming off a big win and a big game on the road in Buffalo. Looking ahead, Philadelphia on the road next week, Monday Night Football.
Who's looking ahead?
The Giants.
The Giants.
I'm giving you the argument.
Oh, okay.
The Giants appear and head to Philadelphia. It's your classic trap game.
Yeah.
The Giants are due to turn the ball over a little bit. The Niners are going to even it out a bit. The Giants, you listen to some of their quotes after the game last week. Maybe they're getting a little overconfident, and they might be taking the 49ers a little bit easily.
Okay.
We've seen primetime games with the Giants. Sometimes they get themselves a little bit out of whack from time to time. From your time here, that.
I'm going
so
with the conversation.
This is a very, very dangerous game for the New York Football Giants against what is right now beleaguered 49er team on Sunday night. Prime for a letdown. Jeff, why is that not true?
Well, I think it can be true because I think that history proves itself that a lot of times this is what happens with the Giants, especially at home. I don't have it in front of me, but if we go back and look at some of these so-called trap games, Giants haven't done very well in them. But I do know that, and I'm recalling last year there was a trap game that the Giants did win in there. I don't know which one it was, John, but I think that, why this isn't going to happen, okay? Why this isn't, you're asking me. I guess my opinion is that I think that they understand that the only way that this team is going to get to the playoffs is by winning the division. So you can't afford a loss in the conference, okay? A loss in the – not in the division as far as the – but a loss in the loss column here. They have to – they understand the importance of it because what the other teams are doing in this conference with the Cowboys and the Eagles, they're certainly unsettled at those two teams.
The and
Washington
the
Redskins, I think, are – I mean, of the teams that are playing, you know, you kind of have – they're 2-2 also. They play some good games.
They beat Philly last week.
And so, I mean, you got to kind of take – you got to kind of watch these guys, you know. They're flying under the radar a little bit. So, in my mind – it's where the leaders are got to grab every one of these young guys and say, you know what? Hey, forget about what we did last week. We're 0-0, and let's go. And that's why they're going to win this game. I think, you know, it's and you know what? You got to get the crowd into it. You got the Ring of Honor going on. You got a lot of stuff happening here.
Now, for example, you've been a player in the locker room. I want to go back to 2008. You remember that game Monday night against Cleveland on the road? That was an absolute disaster.
That was a disaster.
But you've been in other games in later in 2008 where you played some teams that weren't that great, but you killed them, you dominated them, you really went off. So what does Coach Coughlin say to the team? What do the players say to each other in the locker room heading into a game like this to make sure that your A effort shows up on the field?
Okay, I will tell you this. It's never mentioned in the locker room about a trap game. That's never mentioned. The other thing is that you got to remember who you're dealing with. Human beings, they think this way. People, you know, they get a little bit set in their ways. Hey, we've won two games. They're a little bit cocky, like you said, okay? Nothing changes the course during the week coming into a game like this other than the fact that Coach Coughlin or any coach, for that matter, they're just giving you the information, how we're going to beat this team and why we need to win. That's all that you hear about.
Now, here's the question. Do the coaches, though, try to pump up this team?
No.
They don't.
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Oh, I thought you meant the
Giants. I don't mean pump up the Giants. Do they try to pump up the 49ers to convince the players that, look, this is a real challenge here,
guys?
This
is the day that Tom does it. Fridays are his stat days.
Oh, Friday's the day he does it, huh?
Fridays are the stat days. Might have changed now, John. I don't know. I've been in a meeting room in 5 years. But this is Fridays were the day that the team meeting in the morning after special teams was – the stat day. It comes in and it's based, you know, he puts up there, this is what the 49ers rank. This is if you do this, you can win this game. And he throws it all up there. And that's, yes, so he does. He pumps up the 49ers thinking that they're 4-0 and they got the number one offense and number one defense and number one special
teams.
This
is Joe Montana walking in. This is Jerry Rice walking in.
This is the history of San Francisco. They've got 5 world championships, whatever it is. Yes. He is pumping this team up so that this team doesn't let down. Now, it can work. And sometimes we're not dealing with 12-year-olds in the building. We're dealing with men who understand, this is just a bunch of coach talk. But you got to listen to them. And then when you go on Sunday, you got to understand that this is the National Football League. Anybody can beat anybody on any given day. And so – to me, it just makes sense that take into consideration what your man is telling you and understand the importance of what you got to do Sunday night on national TV. That's another one he'll bring up.
Oh, okay.
8:30, national TV. Everybody else is done playing football today. They're only going to be watching you. Go out there and play like you should play. You know, these are all the things that come up. I'm getting fired up in here, John.
I know. I'm so excited.
I get my old days of being my junior football coach.
Well, I like the energy. Let's see if the callers can match it at 201-939-4513, by the way.
Yeah, don't bring us any. We want energy today. I don't want anything. Well, John and Jeff, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Bring it.
He's fired up. All right, Abdul, you're in Minneapolis. You got to lead us off, pal.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I was right, Abdul. You know, don't bring anything negative to me today. I don't want to hear it.
Well, Charlie's online, too, so good luck.
Negative. Yes, you literally just basically covered most of my question. I was going to ask, what is the anatomy of a game where you lose and you're supposed to win? A trap game.
Yeah.
Like, as a player, in hindsight, could you see your team not getting ready? Like, you know, in hindsight, or like, is a trap game real, or is it just?
No, they're real.
Know?
Let me tell you something.
Well, Jeff, here's a perfect example. Go back to 2008.
Are you Googling trap game?
No. This is the game I referenced before. Week 5, the Giants played the Seattle Seahawks. You guys destroyed the Seahawks 44-6. That was the massacre game in Seattle. Then you're looking ahead. You're playing the 49ers the following week. You go play at Cleveland Browns on a Monday night, and the Giants lost 35-14 in that game. Why in a game like that does the team not show up and play their A game?
Because
could you see the signs that week in practice? Like, could you see the signs? Like, you know what?
I think as a whole, you probably don't. But as an individual, you kind of maybe sometimes see a little bit here and there.
Now, even after the game, when you look back, do you think back and say, well, you know what, maybe this, that, and that?
No. But what tells me more than anything was on game day, of how guys came to the game.
Interesting.
How guys were, like, lackadaisical in pregame warm-ups, or just you get a tone in the locker room. You know, in a big game, guys are fired, you know, they're ready to go. In a trap game, you call it a trap, you could just sometimes tell that the energy's not there. And let me just tell you, that doesn't always happen just in a trap game. There's some Sundays I used to come into the locker room and go, oh, man, what is going on? I mean, everybody's so quiet. You know, it just doesn't seem right. And sure enough, we go out and lay an egg. So it's the mentality and the it's just the way that things are with human beings, the way that they are. Just some collectively 53 guys got to be on the same page. A lot of times they're not. So that's hopefully that answers some of your questions.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I called yesterday and I explained that there are three teams that I cannot stand losing to. And the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the 49ers. Like, those three teams have given me some of the worst Giants losses ever. You know, the playoff, you know, with the missed field goals in San Francisco when they came back and beat us. This, and then the last year, five interceptions, you know, out of nowhere. And how can we not get up for this game? Like, you're getting up right now just talking about it, you know?
I agree with you. How do you not get up for a game like this when you know what's at stake? You're at 2-3 is at stake.
Right.
3-2 sounds a hell of a lot better and still being in first place than 2-3 and maybe going back down to last place. That, to me, that's all I would tell people. I would tell them right there, this is what's at stake, guys. You want to be first, you want to be in last. I mean.
Well, anyway, this came up because I was looking at, you know, the game, who's playing, who's injured and stuff, and on both squads. And this game lines up really well for us, you know, like. So signs are looking good, knock on wood. And my only thing that makes my heart go, you know, a little flutter is if we just don't show up. So I was wondering, you know, how that happens. So that's basically why I called.
And you know what, Abdul, we could talk about it till we're blue in the face. It all depends on those 53 guys and their mentality in that game on Sunday night at 8:30. And the greatest thing about 8:30 games, other than the fact that maybe if one of the division teams is playing on Monday night, you know what's ahead of you.
That's
you,
true.
You know what you got to do. So,
sure.
I mean, everybody could lose in the division that day if they're not playing on Monday. I don't even know who's playing on Monday night, but
I'm
or who has a bye. But you know what I'm saying? It's like you at the 8:30. You kind of the day has gone. You know what the whole NFC's done, and you kind of have an idea. And then that's more reason why if you go into that game at 8:30 and you know who's won and lost in your division, that should give you even more motivation.
Extra motivation, yeah.
Yeah.
One quick question on just the injury.
Yeah.
Have we heard anything about Casillas? Because I think he was kind of a late scratch in practice yesterday. Have we heard anything about what's going on with Casillas?
Well, remember, today the Giants don't practice on Fridays anymore. They practice on Saturday instead, Abdul. So I'm assuming he's going to be probably labeled questionable for the game, but we'll have a better idea on game day. My guess is that he'll be a game-time decision. Because we're probably not going to know much more until to see what he does at practice tomorrow. And that's not part of the final game injury report, which comes out on Friday afternoon now. So that's something we're going to have to wait and see.
One more question.
Yeah, real
Why
fast.
Why are our calves giving out? Everyone has a calf injury. What's going on?
You know what? And it's not just the Giants. It's actually all around the NFL. These things are popping up all over the place
now.
Sammy Watkins, Alshon Jeffrey had one.
It's crazy.
Someone else pulled a calf the other night, too. I forget who it was. Abdul, it's nuts. Thanks a lot for the call,
pal. It's the injury of choice.
And, you know, it's funny, though. From year to year, you get that sometimes.
Yeah,
whether it's football
sprain.
Or even baseball. You know, baseball, some years you got, like, one year I remember, everybody had an oblique injury. Everybody was straining their oblique muscles. It was batters on check swings. Oh, my oblique. Pitchers, oh, my oblique. It just happened again
and again
and again.
You wonder if it's something all the strength coaches get together in their conventions every year. Hey, we're going to work this exercise this year. Next thing you know,
here's what I think. I think, you know, new workouts become vogue from year to year. And you alter things and you adjust them. And then I think a lot of times these things, and I'm not saying the Giants are doing this. I think this is in all athletics and all things. But you maybe don't have a long enough testing period for some of these new things, and maybe there are some unintended consequences.
Could be. And it is pretty – yeah, it's a good point. You never know.
Of course, that could be total nonsense.
It's
just a guess. But quite frankly, sometimes things just happen. Who knows?
It really is. And, could it be maybe the turf? Could it be, this or that?
Who knows? But injuries is hard to
figure
out.
But it is kind of funny that, you got a guy that went on IR on a calf injury. You got a guy, one of your best players on offense that has a calf injury. And we're not even talking about his knee where he went out of the season last year for.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
I don't think everybody forgets about the knee, but nobody's talking about the knee.
And this is why it probably has nothing to do with the workout regime. I mean, Berhe suffered that all the way back in the spring. Cruz was fine through the spring, and then he gets it in a training camp workout.
Yeah.
And then Casillas gets it with the regular season. And as you can speak to, workouts change depending on what type of year you're in.
No question.
There really seems to be no connection between any of the three. I think it's
the
just bad luck.
The only connection that I can see just from being, having injuries through my career was that when you do get injured, whatever it is, there's always compensation, that you go from. If your right knee's hurt, you put a lot of pressure on your left side of your body because you can't, And so, things happen on the left side of the body that maybe because you're injured on the right, and maybe that's the calf and this and that. But, speedy recovery. We got to get Cruz back.
Well,
man.
And they also need Casillas if Canar's not going to be able to go with that hamstring, which at this point seems likely.
Likely that he will play?
That he will not play Canard.
Oh,
that
Canard
will likely not play. Casillas, I honestly don't know.
Well, I mean, then you're going to get, they got to have Casillas. I mean, you look at the depth you got there. I mean, Unga is going to play now.
And by the way, McBride, it's a big day for him tomorrow, too, to see if he can get back on the practice field. They're going to need him in the slot.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, he's certainly, they do need him out there. He's a pretty good player for them. And I just think that this injury bug is, and I think we're very hypersensitive to it because we're with the Giants. We talk so much about it. But throughout the league, there's injuries on every team just like this.
All over the place. Look at last week. The Bills are missing three of their best players.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? One of them had a calf injury, Sammy Watkins.
Exactly.
They did.
Something in the water.
And he's probably not playing this week either. 201-939-4513. Charlie in Portland, Maine. I think Charlie's going to break Jeff Eagle's rule right
off the
bat. Charlie?
Come on, Charlie. Get it. Come on.
Hey, guys.
Bring it on.
Hey, so much for the soft tissue injuries getting better that Tom Coughlin spoke about. We're getting better at that, but I don't think so. But I just want to say just a shout-out to Fells because MRSA is not fun. It's a real dangerous health situation.
Very dangerous. Yeah.
He's got five surgeries already, so all my best and hope and prayers for him.
And from us as well. Good call.
Yeah, really, because that's not good. But there's only one bad thing. Every time we honor somebody or we have Ring of Honor or we have the 1990 Super Bowl champs in the house or we have somebody in the house, we always seem to lose that game. It just seems to be the opposite. We should be all pumped up. The team should be pumped up. We're celebrating this and that. And
Charlie, the funny thing about it, and I say this with a lot of confidence, and I would like to see if
I come with confidence too.
If Jeff disagrees with me, I don't think these current players have a gosh darn clue what the hell's happening at halftime with this ceremony. They're in the locker room. They're worried about the game. I mean, quite frankly, some of these kids probably don't even know who like OC and Chrisney are. They're so young. And Charlie, I get what you're saying. I really think it's just a coincidence because these guys in the locker room are so insulated.
That's all it is.
Especially the younger guys. I don't really think it makes
it. It's all a coincidence. And somehow we got to get the the doll out and put some pins in him or something to break the whammy.
Need, Jeff, you got to talk to Mr. J and ask him about calf injuries because he could probably fix it up in about a day.
He's going to put some DMSO. Back in the day, everybody used to put this DMSO stuff on there, which they used for horse injuries. It smelled so bad.
That sounds great.
Another thing is, like Eli last year, we played the 49ers and he threw five interceptions. So this is a redemption game for him, I think. So I'm hoping instead of five interceptions, he throws five TDs this week. Because I think he's going to have a big game because I think in the back of his mind, he remembers that game.
Can you put that down? Charlie thinks that Eli's going to have a big game.
Five touchdowns.
TDs. I love it, Charlie. Good.
I do. Hey, Jeff, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Like Mariano, he was the greatest, closer. They always had a song for him coming out of the bullpen.
Enter Sandman. Absolutely.
What song? I think kickers are like the Ron Dangerfield of football players. They get no respect. you should have had a song when you came out to punt. What would that song have been?
It had to be some song from Van Halen. I love Van Halen.
All right.
So, you know, you pick it. You know, Hot for Teacher. I don't know. Something like that. But something with a good, you know, good beat to it, coming out, getting everybody hyped up for the punt. You know, get everybody to retract from getting up from their seats to go get a beer and a hot dog on that play. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Hey, I got a good one for you. AC/DC.
Okay.
That's
great
song.
I would take anything from them.
Jailbreak.
No, I do not want anything that has to do with Jailbreak with me getting ready to punt.
Charlie, that was funny. Charlie, that might be the funniest thing you've ever said.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
The reason I say that, I was just one quick thing. When I was on DJ on radio for a classic rock station, the warden or guard called me up from the Maine State Prison. He said, will you play us a song, you know, for the inmates and us? And I said, sure. So that's what I played. Jailbreak.
Thank you, Charlie.
That was great.
That was
all
classic.
Right, guys.
All right.
Good call, Charlie.
Way to go. You're coming on, dude.
By the way, talking about Eli having a big game, and I did a little research. I talked to some of my folks over at Pro Football Focus.
Oh, you love that, those people.
Well, I want to do a little bit more research on a couple of numbers, because there's something that I saw, and I wanted to confirm if what I saw was right based on what they're looking at. All right? Now, I'm using this on Sunday, too. I don't want you stealing my
numbers. I'm going to write it down.
All right. So far this year, Eli Manning is throwing the ball or either sacked or crossing the line of scrimmage. Basically, his act in the play is over. On average, per play, 2.2 seconds per play. From snap to either him releasing the ball, getting sacked or crossing the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
That is the third fastest of all qualifying quarterbacks. The only two quarterbacks that are faster are Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady, who get rid of the ball quicker.
Yep.
Last week against the Bills, he set a new record. I think this might be his overall best in his career, but I know it is at least this year. Got rid of the ball in 1.82 seconds on average against the Buffalo Bills, which is the fastest of any quarterback last week. Phillip Rivers was second fastest at 2.15. I believe Aaron Rodgers is actually one of the quarterbacks that holds it the longest because he can scramble and then try to create some extra time for himself.
Now, this is impressive. I'm going to go a little deep on you here.
Oh, go deep. We like it.
But we have what's in punting, when I would catch the football, we would call it hand-to-foot time. So by the time I would catch the ball and kick it, my hand-to-foot time was usually between 1.1 and 1.25 seconds. So just to give you an idea of that.
And it's also similar like a baseball catcher from catch to throw, the release time to try to catch the guy stealing. Right.
So and especially that because it's a timing thing. You know, if my hand-to-foot is 1.8, that means – The rush is coming. I'm taking too much time.
Absolutely.
So for Eli, what was it, 1.9 something?
Last week 1.8? It was 1.82. Overall this season, it's 2.2 overall.
That's, you know, for a quarterback.
That's ridiculous.
That's pretty quick. So, yeah, I mean, and you know what? But look what's happening. He's taking a lot of pressure off the offensive line. And, you know, we have yet to see the vertical game, you know, flourish. But why? Because of this. Just boom, 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 boom.
There's not a lot of going back there. La, la, la. No, he's not open. He's not open. He's not open. It's go back, 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 plant, fire
and
away.
You know what?
And you know what, though? When you have a rookie left tackle that you're trying to break in and you got on the right side that you know, wasn't brought in here to be a starter, that's what you do. And so far, the offensive line is doing exactly what they've been asked. This week, Pro Football Focus also put out their top 32 offensive line stats. Ranked the offensive lines, and you know this is actual numbers and seconds. This is far more objective. That list is subjective, so just keep that in mind. They had the Giants around 12 in terms of overall offensive lines. I think going in this year, Giant fans would have signed up for that.
32 that everybody thought that they were.
201-939-4513. But I thought it was interesting how quickly Eli's getting rid of that football. James is calling us next. I'm not sure where James are. James is in the Nether. James, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good afternoon. I'm from Phoenix, just right down the road.
Very good, James. What's up?
Going to be going to the game on Sunday night. Just a quick question in regards to our defensive line situation this season. Obviously, we all know the great downfall of the JPP situation on July 4th. Now, what do you think the Giants' moves are going to be? Are they going to make any trades or any off free agent pickups to maybe kind of add some more size to that defensive line?
I mean, there's no one left out there. I mean, everybody that's an NFL player is on a roster right now. I mean, there's nobody out there, you know, hanging out on the free agent defensive line tree you can just pick off and put on your roster. It doesn't work that way.
I mean, dude, those are your guys. I mean, Marcus Kuhn continues to be hurt, and they lob Kendrick Ellis basking for it. You never know when he's coming or going.
Hey, look, here's the beauty of it, though, Jeff. And while you haven't gotten that dynamic pass rush that you expect and you want, you know, for the Giants, fundamentally wise, stopping the run on first and second down, this line, James,
great.
Has been off the charts good. Whether it's Hankins inside, Cohen Jenkins inside, outside, you have George Selvey, Kerry Wynn, Robert Ayers when he's been out on the field. I mean, this group, and throw the linebackers into the mix too. They've all been very disciplined, and they've played this scheme extremely well up front to be very disciplined against them. Remember, last 2 weeks, the Giants played at the time the two top-rated rushing attacks in football in the Redskins and the Bills. Shut down. I'm not saying slow down. Shut down both of them.
Got to do it this week too. You know, and listen, I don't think that this team will ever be a dominant pass rushing team this year, but I think that they only can get better because they're so bad, you know what I'm saying? So I think that eventually as Spagnuolo, he kind of just eases these guys into a little bit of things. We haven't seen a lot of, you know, stunts going on. It's just been basic, just pin your ears back and try to get there. So when the game planning starts to come around a little bit more, I think you'll start getting some more sacks in there. Got to get Ayers back. Got to get Ayers back, and you got to get DeMontre Moore to play better.
Yep. And just another question. Do you think Ruben Randall, do you think he's going to continue his output that he's put out these past two or three games?
Here's what I see from Ruben Randall generally. And James, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate you listening and calling it. Ruben, to me, plays much better when teams give him a little bit of space at the line of scrimmage. The more teams get physical with him and make him try to fight off the line and he has to create separation and, you know, he doesn't have that cushion, I think that's when he has some issues. And I think we saw that again last week against Buffalo. But the week prior, he was getting a lot of space. He got off the line well, and that's when he can use his size to really box out defenders.
And he doesn't have to use his knees to get off the line of scrimmage. He gets a little free release, which helps us, you know. The other thing is that as long as you target Odell Beckham like they did, even though Odell Beckham was targeted 12 times last week, didn't have 12 catches, but the fact is that as long as you're throwing the ball to Odell Beckham, then Ruben Randall should continue to do what he's been doing the last couple weeks.
Right, and you'd like to see him get down the field a little bit more. I think that's the next step for Ruben Randall. He had that one long catch that was deflected that he caught as a touchdown at the end of the Redskins game, I think it was. He got the deflection and touchdown against the Redskins late.
Yeah.
Yes, but you haven't really seen him do a ton of damage down the field. You'll have to see him use his size and, you know, maybe, you know, do some boxing out of those corners on those little fly patterns on the sideline or some deep in cuts.
Yeah, but I mean, it's important for him to continue to keep playing. And you know what? Mm-hmm. We talked about it in our pregame shows the last couple of weeks, John, is that you have to keep him active. And that's what Eli has said. I got to keep him active. He's one of those kind of, he's like a kid that, you know, he gets bored.
Remember, I talked to Ruben after that Redskin game. You heard it on the Giants postgame show. And he said, look, getting those passes early in that game, I think he had two or three catches on that first drive.
At least it shows him that going forward, maybe I can get more. If you get nothing, you're constantly going, well, I wonder if they're ever going to throw the ball to me. Put your finger in your mouth and suck on your thumb.
I could see Vereen being that guy this week.
Yeah,
he's been
quiet
for a couple of weeks
now. He has, and I think that's because the other team knows about Shane Vereen. They really do.
You know what? Rashad Jennings ended up making a play in the pass game now last week.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and we said this at the beginning, even when we thought that Victor Cruz was going to come back, you got to pick your poison with this offense. Now with Vereen and the guys out there, you can't cover all of them.
And Dwayne Harris stepped up, had a nice little game last week too, career high catches.
And you know what? I just believe that the Giants knew that's the role they wanted him to play here. They want him to be the return guy. And if someone got hurt or they needed him in a pinch, they know he's a good receiver. He's not an excellent receiver, but he's a guy that can make some plays. And that's what you're going to get out of Dwayne Harris.
I'll tell you what,
he got it last week.
And he's not going to be afraid to take a hit over that middle.
Oh, there's
either.
No way.
He will drop the load on you.
If you are a punt returner or a kickoff returner in this league, you're not afraid to get hit.
Absolutely not.
So, you know, and that's why, you know, listen, we can dog Preston Parker all we want. The guy was a tough dude. You know, I mean, he was a punt returner, a kickoff returner.
He was not afraid of getting hit.
Not afraid of getting hit. He just kind of got just lost his hands for a couple weeks, you know?
Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. Andrew's in New Jersey. Andrew, what's up?
My wife said I was too hard on Harris that you just said, because one catch, he made a nice catch, but the guy leg tackled him. And I was saying, kick out of it, kick out of it. Use your, you know, you're a big, strong guy for a wide receiver, smash, kick out. But you're right, he's physically strong, and he doesn't seem like he spaces out or, you know, gets bored. He seems like he's always energetic.
No, absolutely. Great blocker in the run game, too, Andrew. Great blocker.
Even he was energetic, so that got my confidence up for this game. Charlie was right. A lot of the homecoming type games, alumni, we lose. But if you look at our record, we're like 9-7, 8-8. So it's like a 50-50. So I think that's just a coincidence. But you guys echoed what I thought. They have to run the ball, get those third downs, get the second and shorts, keep the clock rolling, win the turnover differential. And this quarterback is struggling, but he has ability like Michael Vick, if we all want to forget, but the 7 minutes and 43 seconds of Vick of hell in the fourth quarter. So this guy is just as dangerous if he gets a chance to run and be athletic. And when he's on, like Kurt Warner, the great quarterbacks, Troy Aikman, of course, they're dangerous. Eli is a threat to the defense. But if Kaepernick has room to run and space, but I'm excited to see, I'm nervous, but I'm excited to see Spags. It's his first time, you know, against Kaepernick with the Giants, and Beeson's going to be out there. So if you guys wanted to comment, too, do you think they're going to go with the read option more, and how do you think the Giants are going to handle it? And I'll listen off air, and Charlie's got me pumped up. Jeff's got me pumped up. David Deal had me scared, but I was nervous. Like, he's nervous. He said it's a trap game, and I agree, but I'm still nervous, but I'm getting more excited as we get closer.
Thanks,
more
Andrew.
Confident.
Appreciate it.
We know all the players listen to the show on Friday because John and I are here, so we don't want to scare the players. So we like to pump them up, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they're all tuned in right now.
The other thing is that this team averages 12 points a game. So offensively for the Giants, you don't have to go up and put, you know, 35 points on the 49ers to win the game. Play good defense. Run the football.
Protect the football.
Protect the football and run the clock down in the fourth quarter. And you have a good – now, I read something this morning where Jeet Priss, who is the offensive coordinator for the 49ers, said earlier in the week that they've changed a lot of things in the offense to try to get this – jumpstart this offense going. So was it Andrew who was the last call?
Yeah.
He made a point. Maybe they go to a little bit more of that read option offense that they got away from a little bit. So you never know what they could be bringing here, which sometimes causes problems for defenses but, you know, Spagnuolo is going to have them going back, looking at tape a year or two ago, whatever, you know, because they could come out in that. You never know. So it's a good point. They might change their offense just a little bit to get things going because 12 points a game ain't going to do much for you.
201-939-4513. Len is in Columbia, Maryland. Leonard?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Len?
Wonderful. Happy Friday, huh?
It's real good. And Jeff, I just want to remind you, last week it was J-Rod Taylor who we played. Last Friday and said I wasn't one bit worried about J-Rod Taylor.
Well.
Hey, listen.
Tyrod Taylor.
Kudos. First off, kudos to Giants ownership for putting the old trainer, Johnny Johnson, up there in the Ring of Honor. A real gentleman, a nice man. I met him for the first time. Way, way back when he was at the athletic trainer up at Manhattan College, which was my alma mater. And John's a nice guy, and I hope he can get there tomorrow night. I know he's probably mid-90s.
He's coming.
But good. That's outstanding. I'm looking forward to seeing him. You know, we're playing a team here that isn't playing very well, obviously. That point's been made a number of times.
Yep.
It's just not a very good team to start with. And, you know, it's a below average team, not playing very well. The only thing I'm concerned about, and I think, Jeff, you just alluded to it in the interview that was done with the offensive coordinator, you know, I think they're going to try to do things a little different. If they try to run that same offense that they've been running for the last 3 weeks, I don't think they've been in the lead for 3 weeks. If they try to run that same offense that they've run for the last 3 weeks, they're going to be running for the bus by the end of the third quarter. They're going to have to shake things up, and I believe that's what they're going to do. And that's the only thing that worries me a little bit. It's not necessarily just Kaepernick, but I can see some non-routine plays here. I can see some, end-around plays, quick strike early in the game to get a lead.
But you know what?
And to give them a little confidence.
To save you a little bit, I will tell you this. And you can be a little bit afraid of what they could bring and that maybe the team isn't ready for. One thing that I have confidence in that I didn't have confidence in last year was in-game adjustments that the defensive coordinators can make. I believe that Spags can do that better than most people. And so he's going to have them prepared just in case. And so,
Jeff, that's an outstanding point.
That's why I'm here, right, John? That's why John has me here.
He can make those kinds of adjustments.
Now, Len,
I think that's good. Hey, John, I just want to make one point on, you were talking about the defensive line and, the really good play of the defensive line so far this year. You know, the one thing that it kind of hit me on Sunday, and it's been building since the first game because I felt like they did it as far back as that Sunday night game against the Cowboys. Listen, we're punishing the offensive lines. We are punishing the opposition's offensive line.
Absolutely.
Those guys know they have been in a football game. That front four, I mean, 8, 9, 10 guys that we've played since the beginning of the season, forget the linebackers for the moment. Who's ever on the field as part of that front four? The guy in front of them is getting punished. And it's been building. And I think we really saw it against the Bills. They're just pounding those offensive lines.
Well, and Len, you know what it is too? You pound them for 3.5 quarters, then you put little 245-pound Nikita Whitlock in there, and these offensive linemen are losing their you-know-what, and then they can't block this guy who's doing all these crazy spin moves, and it's like half the height as a normal defensive lineman.
I think that this defensive line, when they played the Cowboys in the first game, the Cowboys were touting, everybody was touting that that's the best offensive line in the world. Well, look what they did against that offensive line, and that gave them a lot of confidence going forward. Because they said, if this is the best offensive line in the league.
I'll tell you, all 10 of those guys who've been playing on and off from week to week, I don't care who's on the field, they are just punishing the people in front of them. It's great to see that. I love that kind of football, especially from a defensive
line. Len,
listen, there's no reason we lose this game on Sunday night. I mean, you want to do overconfidence, you want to go there. I mean, we're going to put better players on the field on Sunday night. And our best players are playing their best at this point. And the 49ers' best players, the few that they have, aren't playing very well. Hey, we win this game. We'll be 3-2. Hopefully it's first place that you guys are talking about. Hey, listen, I love those halftime shows. I'd love to see these old guys come back. It's a great 15 minutes at the stadium.
Thank you,
and
Len.
That Ring of Honor thing, I look forward to it every year.
Great.
Thanks, Len.
Thank you, Len. We appreciate your perspective, buddy. Yep.
At the beginning part of that call, it sounded like Len was on the set of the sequel to Alfred Hitchcock, The Birds. Did you hear the birds in the background?
Well, we've heard him come out on the porch before.
Yeah, I know. I think Len was on the porch there. There was some serious bird action going on.
Love it, though.
All right. I got 10 minutes. I got a DraftKings spot I got to do with Jeff, but I got three more callers, too. So let's start on the phones. Ed in New York's been holding. Ed, how are you?
Ed?
Hey, good afternoon, Jeff and John. Great to talk in. And you kind of led into my reason for calling. I want to talk about Whitlock.
Oh, okay.
Why not?
He has, and kind of not only that for him, give him props. He's an outstanding fullback. He's playing specials. He's going situationally on the defensive line. He's been a really good add to just using a position where a lot of teams aren't choosing to hold anymore and finding value in a particular player. So not only props to him, and only a comment here, not only props to him, but to the coaching staff, to Spags, Coach Coughlin, and even Jerry Reese for finding a player that could do more than just be a fullback. And he's really adding a lot to our team.
Absolutely.
On both the offensive side and the defensive side.
Absolutely. Agree 100%.
The other thing about Whitlock is the fact that, last week I think he played 43 snaps.
In
three phases of the game. And we talked a little bit of this on Giants.com. We did a little segment on what makes him so good. The fact is that he's able to – the reason he's on this team is because of that. Here's a guy that undrafted and is one of those players you root for because he comes in here and has no chance to make the team, and now he's playing 43 snaps for you in three different phases of the game.
Well, Jeff, the beauty of it, too, is that the fullback is so seldom used now on offense that it makes him available to play these other snaps in these other phases.
And I love how they bring him in the fourth quarter for that defensive line, because those guys are tired by that time, you know, and then they get a little spark plug in there. And you know what? The offensive linemen are tired, too. Okay, well, who the hell is this little sucker just running around me?
These offensive linemen are like 6'6", 3, you know, 315, and they're trying to block this guy that's literally shorter than me. He's about 5'10", 5'11". He's 240 pounds, a center of gravity that's like at their waist. I mean, how are you supposed to block somebody like that?
And he's got that spin move.
He loves to spin.
Exactly, and as far as the fan base, you know, we all hear the complaints, why did we let James Jones go, all this? Well, this is a situation where we let a popular fullback who was still producing Hanoski go for this young man, and nobody's questioning why is he on the team.
Yeah,
we know
great
why
point.
He's on the team, and kudos to him, the coaching staff, and the front office. That's all I got to say. And
thanks, Ed.
We're on the upswing, and we're winning Sunday night. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in.
Now, remember, we talked about Whitlock early in training camp and how Larry Izzo
– You talked about
it. Just loving the work. Thank you for that.
I
wasn't going to pat myself on the shoulder, but if you want to do it, I'm not going to argue with you, obviously.
I'm not
going
to pat you on the shoulder. I'm just going to tell you that John is one of John's sleeper picks.
He made it. If he wasn't good on specials, though, none of this other stuff would have mattered. None of it would have mattered.
No question.
Fans always called and complained,
first.
Oh, why do coaches care about special teams? Oh, this and that. Well, I'll tell you what. If Nikita Whitlock wasn't a great special teams player and Larry Izzo wasn't a big advocate for him to get on this team, I'll tell you what, he might not be here right now.
Yeah, and that's what those young guys have to understand coming into training camp is that, yeah, I don't care if you played starting linebacker at Michigan and you were drafted in the sixth round. You're going to play special teams, dude. You're going to make the team by doing that.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Jeff, what do we got?
All right, fans. Here we go. Week 4 DraftKings lineup. I stunk up the joint last week. You heard me say it. You can almost call it. Okay, let me just be upfront with this. Okay, all right. I was very incompetent. You gotta be kidding me, Schmelf. I'll try not to embarrass myself this week and any other week for that matter.
I might have edited some of the early
comments. Now, if
you've
never played on DraftKings, they offer weekly fantasy football contests with no season-long commitment. Here's my week 4 lineup.
Now,
these
are some great picks. Let me tell you.
Okay.
Great pick.
At least you got that going for you, all right? Okay, quarterback this week, I want to go with Sam Bradford. You said who? Sam Bradford? The Eagles? Yeah, that's who I'm talking about. The Eagles finally got the ball down the field against the Redskins last week. I see another big week for Bradford against the struggling Saints defense. They're not very good. If the Eagles are going to get their offense going, I think it's this week. It's going to happen. So Bradford is picked. Pricey, though. They're a little pricey, $6,000 for this guy, but I think it's three touchdowns are a strong possibility. So my pick for quarterback is Sam Bradford this week. At running back, I'm going to go with C.J. Anderson. Even though Ronnie Hillman has been stealing away some of the Anderson's carries for the Raiders, you should go heavy with the ground game against the Raiders. The Broncos defense shouldn't put Denver in good field position, giving them a number of opportunities to score touchdowns on the ground. So take advantage of bottom basement price, folks. Bottom basement, $5,300 for C.J. Anderson.
Yeah, not Ronnie Hillman. You want C.J. Anderson.
You want C.J. Anderson.
There you go.
Forget about Ronnie Hillman. And he'll cost you $5,300, C.J. Anderson. Okay? Now, here's my big pick, folks. I'm paying big money, $9,200 for wide receiver this week, and I'm fine with it. Julio Jones. You heard of him? I think we have. Might be battling a hamstring, but against a bad Washington secondary, you can't go wrong with this guy who has been the most productive wide receiver in football this year. Could be the MVP up to the four games this season, if you think about it. So sit back and watch the points rack up on Sunday afternoon. Those are my picks, and that's DraftKings lineup for the week. Draft your own lineup. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today.
I'm just so happy you're willing to admit your own failures the last couple of weeks.
Hey, listen, you know what? This is fantasy. I mean, this isn't true football. I mean, this is good stuff. And
I got to tell you, Jeff's picks in our Punter Fantasy Football League are usually off the charts. They're usually great.
Yeah, I don't go to punterkings.com.
You know, if that's actually a website, you might be in some trouble.
Oh,
let's
yeah, right?
Let's go to JC in Phoenix. I doubt it is, too. What's up, JC? How are you, pal?
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great, JC. How are you? What do you got?
Pretty good. I'll be quick. I'm not going to tell you how many things I want to say because I lose count. If you could recall our last call. Jeff, how you doing, man? I talked to you last time, one time with Anita. Out here in Phoenix. I don't know if you remember me.
I do.
I'm an up-and-coming caller,
yep.
But I've been listening for many
years. I like it.
And did Shakes or Charlie call back to give props to the Giants and Jerry Reese?
I'm sure they've called back this week.
Well, you know, Charlie was on today, and I think this is probably one of Charlie's more positive phone calls today.
Actually, we heard from Shakes on Monday, so Lance and I did. So, yeah, they're here.
All right, I'm just wondering because, you know, Shakes has been kind of scared of watching games. That's what I love about Len because he's a realist, but at the same time, he's very optimistic. You know, we always, when we have Eli, we always have a chance. When we have a good coaching staff, we always have a chance. So I'm just very happy about our team. And I think we're going to be prepared for Sunday night. I know historically, sometimes these games could be, you know, like a trap game, but I feel confident that we're on a roll, and so I think we're going to win on Sunday night. So I just had a question about DeMontre. How was he utilized in college? I mean, how did he produce so much, and can we use him in that same way where maybe he's, you know, standing up and moving around? You know, we got to think of something if he can't come up with something on his own, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. I don't know much about him coming out of college, John. I know you may know more, but whatever they did do with him in college, and they try to play to a player's strength, and you know that can only teach you so far that you have to develop some different strengths. And I think that
to improve your weaknesses too. That's the thing.
I think that's probably more important. Yeah, what am I not doing? I got to improve on that. And I think that the answer to your question is that. You got to get him to do what he's not doing well better.
And you're right. He has to get better at what he's doing well. And, J.C., thanks for the call. I got a couple minutes, and I have to get
thank
one
you.
More caller. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
And Carl Banks has said that during the broadcast. And, Jeff, you said this before, too, where he needs to develop a more varied repertoire when it comes to his pass rushing.
Yeah, just something that, you know, in down and distance, for instance, and understanding what your goal is here. You know, your goal as a third down pass rusher is to get to the quarterback. Well, not every single time, you may have to do that. You have to play some run on third down sometimes, and, you know, you may not be the guy every time. So I think it's just trying to understand, and it's kind of just maturing as a young man. The guy's still young. He came into the National Football League. I think he was just barely 21 years old. So he is, he's getting older, but not old, but just getting a little more experience every game.
All right,
so we got any Twitter stuff before we go?
Well, I have one more final call, and then I'm going to go through Twitter really quick.
All right.
Let me see if I can bring up this caller list here. Let's go to Big Ed in Maryland. Big Ed, give me 60 seconds on why the Giants are going to win. Go.
Oh, it's so simple.
What's going on, Big Ed?
Stop the run. Complete, total, utter chaos. Total chaos, mass confusion. Yes, an EPMD song. It's great, so listen to it. It means a lot. That's what you're going to do. You're going to go out there. You're going to kick their butts up and down the field simply because you want to. And you're going to win. And everybody's watching.
And everybody's
watching. Odell's going to catch great passes. Eli's going to throw for over 300 yards and about 4 or 5 touchdowns. Defense will score at least twice.
Woo!
At least 2 pick six. At least. Guys, we should be fellas. Because I know you said, I heard it just a while ago. You said the players listen. Fellas, check this out. Y'all need to make a competition. Offense scores 3 touchdowns a game. Defense scores 3 touchdowns a game. We will raise the trophy in Frisco for number 5.
No, there's no, you know what?
Love
there's
y'all.
No question.
Great weekend. Have a ball. Well, I'll be up to see you soon.
All right, Big Ed.
Win.
Thank you, Big Ed. I love
you. Win everything.
It's one of my favorites.
Love you guys, man. Appreciate you, Jeff.
Thank
you. Appreciate you, Big John.
All right, Big Ed. Take it easy, buddy.
Good night, fellas.
Take it easy. Have a good one. I love
Could you imagine if this
He's so dog... positive. I love Big Ed.
We like positive callers. Charlie. Charlie was all right today. You know, he's getting there.
All right, you know, I see a lot of comments on Twitter. Not a ton of questions. Here's one that's interesting, and this is the one I'm going to throw at you to close out the show. 2014 draft, we had like a, you know, one season and another 4 games. If you had to make the pick over for the Giants, would you consider taking Aaron Donald instead of Odell Beckham Jr.?
Oh, wow. That's a great question.
Does Aaron Donald's really
that is
good?
A good? It's a tough question, but man, I would take Aaron Donald.
Really?
Yeah, I really
I
would.
I didn't think you were going to go there.
No, I would.
You might get thrown off the show for that.
No, listen, it was. They're both on. Listen, Odell's on this team. And man, I'll tell you what, I'm glad they drafted him.
I'll tell you what, you might have the two guys, though, all joking aside, that could be the top player at their position
for
the next five or six
years. That guy can play some football, boy. And I'll tell you, he's quite a story, too. And but man, that's a great question. Great. We don't have enough time to debate that one, but I think it's, it was a good thought.
All right, Giants 49ers, Sunday Night Football. Remember, at halftime, the Ring of Honor ceremony, you got four new guys going. We talked about all four guys all show long. You got John Johnson, you got Jack Lummis, you got O.C. Manure, and you got Chris Neal going to the Ring of Honor. Ceremony at halftime, breast cancer awareness as well. Be in your seats early. A lot of stuff before the game for that. Should be a fun night at the stadium. Come out.
What time's our pregame?
Our pregame is on WFAN since the Yankees decided to not hit on Tuesday night. That was a fun night at the stadium. And we're on WFAN.
Yep.
6:30 start.
6:30, we got 2 hour. Okay.
The all two bald guys here. You got the tan guy and Paul Dottino. You got the short guy and Lance Meadow. So the four of us will be on the pregame
show.
Hell
of a cast.
And I'm working on it. We should have both OC and Snee together back to back segments.
That'd be awesome. Love
so
to get those guys.
Make sure
the
you tune in. They should probably be on around 7 o'clock, as long as nothing gets screwed up in the next 48 hours or so. So we'll work on that.
That'll be great.
But it should be a good pregame show. We'll have Ted Robinson, who's play-by-play for the 49ers, on out there at the stage. And, well, remember, we're at MetLife Central, right inside the MetLife gate. Come by and say hello again. Pregame starts at 6:30. For Jeff Fegels, I'm John Schmelk.
Thank you, John.
Have a great weekend at Giants.com. Be loud on Sunday night, folks. We'll see you there.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Jackson on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.